Welcome to Love Rules, the radio ministry of Roxbury Presbyterian Church in Boston. My mom, Liz Walker, was Boston's first African-American television news anchor, but her most important job is what she does right now at RPC, preaching the good news about God's love. The Bible says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. How does that work? Join my mom now as she offers us Love Rules from Roxbury Presbyterian Church.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Love Rules. Our message this morning, Alone with Jesus. And we're going to go to the Gospel of Mark, the 4th chapter, the 26th through the 34th verses. Jesus also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, the man puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. I read all of that text because I wanted you to get a sense of the parables that Jesus taught. He was an extraordinary teacher. Some people like to refer to him mainly as a preacher, but Jesus really was a master teacher. Everything he did was focused on imparting divine knowledge, wisdom, and truth, offering people a new way to live their lives. He taught the crowds. He taught in the temple. The Pharisees were proud of their ritualistic formal education, but were astonished how this carpenter's son could have such insight. He told them, my teaching is not mine, but from the one who sent me. Jesus had an incredible repertoire of teaching tools. He knew how to engage the audience by using parables. Now, you know what parables are, those simple stories used to illustrate a spiritual lesson. They usually focused on people's daily experiences in delightful ways. Jesus would talk about hidden treasures or a barren fig tree or a pearl of great value. The fascinating and mysterious part of this process was while his parables were rooted in a specific time and place, they spoke of timeless truths. They make sense right now, 2,000 years later. Parables usually had one point, but with multi-layered approaches to that point. And they always had these hidden meanings that were concealed from many who heard them. Why conceal the truth from anyone? Well, Jesus didn't do it out of fear. His time was coming when it was right, and he didn't want to go before his time or say anything before the right time. Because everybody wasn't going to get it. They were going to hear what they wanted to hear no matter what. You see, Jesus is always about seeking transformation. He didn't want to talk at folks. He wanted to speak to the depths of who people are and who we can be. So Jesus knew and taught and still knows that truth is not something to be learned by rote. Truth has to be internalized. It has to be taken into your heart. Now, Jesus is teaching by the lake in this text. The crowd has gotten so large around him that he gets into a boat while all the other people along the shore at the water's edge. He's talking to fishermen and farmers and people who live off the land. And he begins to tell them this parable. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Now, Jesus could have chosen some stupendous, exalted example, streets paved with gold or royalty in fine robes. I mean, he's talking about the kingdom. But he chooses kind of insignificant subject matter, but with tremendous potential. He talks about this man who's planting seeds, and night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. There is a mystery in what Jesus is teaching, but it's a mystery based in the process of nature. The growth of a seed is slow but certain. Now, some people who are listening may think he's only talking about gardening. Others who are thinking more deeply sense a truth that is taking root in their hearts. There is a growth that has to take place for this kingdom to come. The text says Jesus spoke to them as much as they could understand. He knew that while some folks would get it, others would not. But he wanted his disciples, the ones who were closest to him, to get it. So when he was alone with them, the scripture says, he explained everything. When he was alone. Jesus knew he had to get his special students away from the crowd so that they would really understand what he was talking about. And like any good teacher, he utilized one-on-one time. He got his students alone because Jesus knows the value of solitude. Some social theorists would argue that solitude is not beneficial, that it goes against our capacity as social beings. They believe that withdrawing from social engagement is irresponsible and self-indulgent. We don't need to do anything to alienate ourselves from others. But Jesus knew back then, and he knows now, there is a time for solitude. Don't confuse solitude with isolation. Now, in isolation, you may feel that something is missing and you're cut off. It's possible to be with people and feel isolation. I don't know if you've read Sherry Turkle's book. She's from MIT. She's a psychologist, and her book is called Alone Together, and it argues that we're becoming increasingly more isolated because of technology. We would rather text than talk, tweet than call, and nobody writes letters anymore. You can see young people in the room who, instead of talking to each other, talk on the cell phone or text each other. But that's isolation and that's dangerous. Solitude, however, is the state of being alone without being lonely. It is a positive and constructive state of engagement with God. The song says, I come to the garden alone when the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the voice of God discloses. Jesus was not a loner, but he sought solitude when it was necessary. Jesus drew big crowds. Often he had to get away by himself to be with his Father, to make sure he understood what his Father said, what his Father wanted. But there were lots of reasons for Jesus' solitude. Remember, God led him into the desert before he was tempted by Satan? He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus knew that there was a time to be alone. He taught some of his most meaningful lessons one-on-one. He was a brilliant conversationalist. He walked and talked with folks. He looked them in the eye and listened to their questions. That's how he engaged with Nicodemus about being born again. That's how he talked to the Samaritan woman at the well about the true meaning of worship. Jesus sought solitude in very specific occasions, not just when he wanted to teach 101. He sought solitude when he faced big decisions. The text says, now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself. And from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. That is the book of Luke, the 6th chapter. You see, before any big decision Jesus had to make, he sought time alone. The reason that Jesus was able to accomplish so much in his short time on earth was because he knew the value of solitude. When Jesus wants to get something to you, to your spirit, something really important, sometimes Jesus has to get you alone. Did you know that the greatest works in literature and science were accomplished by people who sought solitude? You absolutely cannot grow in God without taking time to be with God, to talk with God, to think about God. Contemplation, centering your thoughts on God. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, Paul said, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, think about such things. You know, as a preacher, I am really busy. Our church, Roxbury Presbyterian Church, is involved in a multitude of ministries in the city of Boston. But I try to remind myself, I try to remind my members that we all have to take some alone time with Jesus. We all have a regular need for restoration of strength and spirit. We need to kind of really check in on the inward person, not just the outward person. It was true even for those who lived most closely with Jesus. After spending themselves on several days of physical and spiritual output, notice the means of replenishment that Jesus prescribed for his disciples. Mark the 6th chapter, the 31st verse. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. What I suggest we do is take what I read about online one day. It was called Minute Retreats. A moment at the traffic light, in an elevator, or in the line at the drive-thru bank. Any moment like this can become a minute retreat when you consecrate it as a time of silence and solitude with God. You can use the time for prayer. You can use the time for meditation or repeating a scripture. Just quiet your thoughts every once in a while. I don't think these retreats have to be long. Maybe if you have the time, you can make it that way. But for me, just every once in a while, to get alone with Jesus. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. Seize those unexpected moments that God gives you and concentrate in that moment on God. Just take that moment and be with Jesus just for that moment. It is important, it is valuable, and it will take you much farther and further on this journey than you know. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for tuning in. Roxbury Presbyterian Church is located at 328 Warren Street, right in the heart of Roxbury. Come worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. This is a listener-supported program. We invite you to partner with us and learn the many ways that love rules. Visit us on our website, roxburypresbyterianchurch.org, or call us at 617-445-2116. Love will rain if you let me.